Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve their temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Your lightnings lighted up the world, the earth trembled and shook.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called them. And Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shiny. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him from the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel.
Chapter.
Glory be to thee,
and Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Moses was a pretty famous guy. Lots of reasons for that, but one of them is given in the Old Testament reading today. The dude's face shone. He came out from talking with God, and every time he would come out, his face would shine. So much so that in order to not keep freaking the people out, he would put a veil over his face. Moses is also famous for his death. His death is shrouded in mystery. For at our Lord's word, this is how Moses dies. He goes up on Mount Nebo, opposite the Jordan River from Jericho, and there God showed him the promised land that he was going to bring his people into from a distance. For Moses, this great servant of the Lord, whose fame is unsurpassed in the history of God's people, was not permitted to go into the promised land. He simply got a glimpse from it up on the high mountain. And then he dies. As the Lord foretold, he died there on that mountain, and the Lord himself buried him in the valley in that foreign land. None of the Israelites knew where Moses was buried. His death is shrouded in mystery. The Lord hid from the Israelites, from his people, where he buried his servant, probably so that they would not turn his bones or grave into idols or objects of worship. But his death, shrouded in mystery. So too Elijah. His exodus from this world is shrouded in even greater mystery. As he and his disciple Elisha walked along on the east side of the Jordan in the very same region where Moses would have been buried near Mount Nebo, God simply took Elijah out of this world in a whirlwind. The chariots came, and Elijah and Elisha were walking along, and all of a sudden, Elijah is whisked away. And Elisha witnessed all of it. These two fathers of the faith, famous, famous people in the history of God's people, they appear on the Mount of Transfiguration before Peter, James, and John. They stood there and they talked with Jesus. Now, St. Matthew's account, which we heard this morning, doesn't really give us all the details. For those, we have to turn to St. Luke. If you read St. Matthew's account, it's kind of like, well, they saw Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and then they disappeared. But St. Luke fills in the gaps. St. Luke says that they're talking about Jesus' impending exodus, his departure, his death. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus are having a conversation about what is about to take place, namely Jesus' death and resurrection. So they're talking about Jesus' death and the mystery of it. These two famous people in God's history whose deaths themselves, actually one death and one whisked away, are shrouded in such mystery. But when it comes to Jesus' death, they're not talking about the mystery of him dying and being buried in an unknown location. They're not talking about the mystery of him avoiding death and being whisked away out of this world. They are talking about the profound mystery that God himself is in the flesh and is about to die to save people from their sins. This is what Moses and Elijah in their earthly lives awaited. This is what they spoke about. This is what all the prophets prophesied about this exodus, this mysterious death, the death of Jesus, who wouldn't stay dead, but would live forever. This is truly a mystery beyond miraculous assumptions into heaven. The fact that God would submit himself to death, even death on a cross, is beyond human comprehension. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal such a mystery. So, Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus that day about the most important thing in the world, the most important thing that the world would ever be privileged to witness, the death and resurrection of its Savior. There isn't anything more important to talk about. Of course, Peter, James, and John didn't understand this that day. Can't blame them. You wouldn't have either. Neither would I. They were overcome with awe at the sight. Great wonder and fear filled them as they stood there and they saw Jesus transfigured, shining brighter than the sun, however that's possible. This is far more mysterious and glorious than Moses coming out from talking with God and being shiny in the face. For a brief moment, the veil between heaven and earth is removed, and these three guys get to look behind the curtain and see Jesus as he is, and to see him conversing with Moses and Elijah. So you can't blame them for not getting what's going on. Peter recognizes it's good to be there, at least. It's awesome to be there. To be there with Jesus in all his glory and Moses and Elijah. Yeah, let's put some tents up and stay right here. But what isn't Peter doing? He's not listening. The greatest conversation in the world is going on, and Peter's not listening. Neither are James and John. They're just staring in awe and thinking about putting up tents. Thus, the Father's voice sounds forth from the cloud. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. I can't do it, but you should picture Charlton Heston's deep, angry voice. This is a rebuke. This isn't, hey fellas, that's my son Jesus and you should listen to him. This is, what are you idiots doing? The greatest conversation in the world, the very point of Jesus coming, of me sending my son into the world, is being talked about and you guys aren't listening to it. That's what comes from the cloud. Listen to him. It's a rebuke. And when the Father rebukes them, they're listening. They hear that. For as the text says, they fall on their faces and are terrified. And then Jesus comes. And he touches them and he says, stop being afraid. It's okay. And the event's over. They look up, they lift up their eyes, and they see nothing but Jesus only. So what was the real lesson to be learned on the Mount of Transfiguration? It wasn't the vision of our Lord Jesus in his transfigured glory, as awesome as that is. It wasn't the vision of Moses and Elijah standing there talking with Jesus, as if, you know, the lesson is that these guys are still living in heaven. We already know that. There are lessons to be learned about those mysterious things, to be sure, but not the main lesson. The veil between heaven and earth had been pulled back, and these three disciples were blessed to witness that, for sure, but not the most important lesson here. They were able to see Jesus as he is, not just as a man, but as the God-man, the one who in his flesh shines in heavenly glory. Pretty important lesson, but not the most important lesson. The real lesson The most important lesson to be learned on the Mount of Transfiguration was the lesson the Father gave. Listen to him. The real lesson to be learned is what really matters, the only thing that matters at the end of the day, is what Jesus was talking about with Moses and Elijah that day, his death and resurrection for your salvation. Peter, James, and John would eventually learn that lesson. In fact, St. Peter makes it vividly clear that he had learned that lesson in the epistle this morning after noting that he and his fellow disciples had been eyewitnesses to the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about this event, this transfiguration. He goes on to say something that's a little bit shocking, but profoundly important. He says, after all that, we saw his glory on the mountain. It was awesome. You wouldn't believe it, but we saw it. After all that, he goes on to say, and we have something more sure, more certain, more awesome. We have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, like I didn't, and the Father had to slap me. You would do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place. You catch how awesome this is, how shocking but profoundly important? St. Peter is speaking of Holy Scripture. He's speaking of the Bible, which he goes on to say is the very word of God given to men who were carried along or inspired by the Holy Spirit. St. Peter says that Holy Scripture is more sure than the glorious and mysterious vision that he, James, and John witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Quite a statement. But so is the fact that he urges us to take heed. St. Peter is telling us what the Father from that cloud of glory told him and those other two guys that day. Listen to him. For dear friends in Christ, we have the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. The very word and revelation of God himself recorded for us on the pages of the Bible. There is nothing more sure than this. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Seasons change, generations come and go, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Moth and rust destroy. Everything is vanity. Nothing in this dead and dying world is ever certain, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And those holy scriptures are all about Jesus. From beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, they are about him. More to the point, they are about the very thing that Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah about on the Mount of Transfiguration. For Holy Scripture is about one thing and one thing only. The mystery of the Word becoming flesh to live and die for sinners in order to save them. They are about the perfect life Jesus lived, fulfilling all of the law given through Moses. They are about everything Jesus did to fulfill all that the prophets had prophesied, represented on the mount by Elijah. And they are about his salvific death and resurrection as testified from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, finding its fulfillment in the New. Jesus himself makes this clear to his disciples when he first appears to them in his resurrected and glorified flesh on Easter evening. Here, at the Mount of Transfiguration, he tells these guys, Don't tell anybody about this until the Son of Man has been raised from the grave. But when he is raised, when he is resurrected, and he appears to them in that room after saying, "Peace be with you," he opens up the scriptures that they might finally understand that everything in them is about him and what had just happened, his death and his resurrection. Treasure the Holy Scriptures, my friends. To the extent that you have not, and we're all guilty of taking them for granted, not reading them enough, not studying them, not marking them, inwardly digesting them as we pray that we would, repent. Take heed again of the glorious promise of our Lord that he reveals in his holy word, that he has come to save us. These holy scriptures will see you through as you journey through the valley of this shadow of death. For the word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, revealing to us the one who is the light of the world and directing us to where we can find that light in his holy word and sacraments. These are the holy scriptures which assure you. This is what St. Peter means when he says more sure, more certain. These holy scriptures assure you that Jesus is your Savior. They assure you that he did fulfill all the law for you. They assure you that he did shed his blood and die on the cross to save you. They assure you that he rose from the tomb on the third day to open up the way to everlasting life for you. They show you and assure you that he lives and reigns over all things, even to this day, unto the ages of ages, for you. And even though your flesh is weak and lazy and prone to sins of all kinds, including taking scripture for granted and not listening to God's word as you should, or allowing distractions to get in your way, the Holy Scriptures assure you that even with your weak flesh, your spirit is willing. For you are baptized, and the new man in you cries out with the psalmist, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord." For here is the dwelling place of your Lord Jesus Christ, here in his holy church, where he comes to bestow upon you his divine gifts. He says to you here that you are absolved of all your sins. Listen to him. He says to you here, through the reading and preaching of his holy word in Scripture, that he has finished your salvation and you are saved. Listen to him. He says to you here, "This is my body, this is my blood, given to you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of all your sins and for the strengthening of your faith." Listen to him. He assures you here that you are co-heirs with him of the inheritance of his kingdom, which has no end. That you are those who are blessed to dwell in his house, ever singing praises to the Lord. Listen. Open your ears. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the Father say to you, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Listen to him. And having listened, depart in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the baptized, that we would heed our Heavenly Father's admonition to listen to His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, as He speaks to us through His Holy Word and sacraments. And that we would, by grace through faith, behold Him in His glory as He continues to tabernacle among us, delivering forgiveness, life, and salvation through the same. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are called and ordained to serve in Christ's stead and by His command, that all their preaching and teaching would flow from the right understanding that all Holy Scripture testifies of Christ and all that He has done and continues to do for our eternal salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have been placed in authority over us, including our President Donald, our Governor Rick, and all other authorities, that they would serve with integrity and honor, having the welfare of all in mind, and for our country, that division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lord's flock here at Peace Lutheran Church, that we would be granted faithfulness, humility, and patience in our various vocations, striving to love God and neighbor in all that we say and do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are sick, hospitalized, recovering, enduring ongoing treatment, or suffering in any way, especially for all those who have requested our prayers, including David Gursky, Vern Jacklett, Ella Shaw, Scott McCollum, Charles Shaw, Margaret Doobie, Lloyd Doobie, James Whiting, Pastor Dan Chambers, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Pat Howard, Lyle Paul, and Dennis Netsley. That they would know your peace and receive healing and relief according to your gracious will. And for those who mourn, that they would be comforted by the sure and certain hope of the resurrection, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the holy altar this day to receive the Holy Eucharist of Christ's very body and blood, that receiving the forgiveness of sins, they would be strengthened in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, John, and all the saints who have fallen asleep, trusting in our Savior's promises, let us give thanks to the Lord. That we would be kept in this same faith and brought to behold with them the fullness of Christ's glory in His kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, through Him, with Him, and in Him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at His transfiguration revealed His glory to His disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim His cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 our God.
this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 The true blood of Christ. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
of this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve your faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Truly I serve.